We're in a series entitled A Fresh Start. Let me ask you this. Moms, have you ever started off the day and thought, wow, I could use a fresh start? Anybody ever been there before? It just didn't go like you thought it was 10 minutes into it, and you're thinking, man, I could use something just a little bit different. We've all been there. We've all had that experience, and we've all had that situation in our life, right? That's happened to every one of us. Well, here's the reality. Today, as we go ahead and wrap up this series called A Fresh Start, here's what we're doing today. We're going to go where we've been, and we're going to look ahead into where we're going. We're going to take a look back at some things we've talked about with A Fresh Start, and we're going to kind of jump where we need to be, not just today, but into the moments of the future. You know, as we've talked about A Fresh Start, we've talked about several things, and one of the things we've talked about is that because of Easter, we can have a fresh start, right? I mean, we have Easter, and Easter changes everything, and Easter gives us a fresh start. Because of the resurrection, you and I can go ahead and have a fresh start in life. And because of the resurrection, not only can we have a fresh start, can I tell you something? We need a fresh start, right? There's not one of us that's perfect. There's not one of us that's without sin. And Jesus came and he gave his life so that we could have a fresh start, so that we could have a new lease on life, so that not only could we have the hope of heaven, but so that we could have a little bit of heaven on earth by knowing him and having him and living for him. So we said we need a fresh start. Well, as we talked about a fresh start because of the resurrection, there we moved and we said, you know what? A fresh start takes place from the inside out. Sometimes we think if we could just change locations, if we could just find a new place, if we could just find that new job, that new circumstance, whatever that might be, that would be the thing that would give us a fresh start. But you know what? The Bible teaches that a fresh start takes place from what? The inside out. And that's where we've been. We've been focusing on the inside. And today, some of you think, if my life could just change circumstantially, if locations could just change, if some things could get better on the outside, that would give me the fresh start. Well, you know, the Bible teaches us that a fresh start starts on the inside, and it's an inside job. And today, maybe you're looking for a fresh start. Today, maybe you're looking for a do-over, so to speak, in life. Can I tell you something? That's an inside job. It starts with a relationship with Jesus, but it starts on the inside. Well, then we talked about a fresh start and doubts. And sometimes we doubt that we're worthy of God loving. We doubt that we're worthy of God forgiving. We doubt that we're really worthy, that God wants to do something in us and through us and maybe even for us. But you know what? We talked about defeating our doubts and how we have to tie our faith to Jesus rather than our circumstances. We have to tie our faith to Jesus rather than our faults and our failures. Because if we tie our faith to faults and failures, guess what? We're always going to have doubts. We're never going to think that we're good enough. We're never going to think that we've done enough. And we're just going to kind of just sit in life and always wonder what it could have been. Wonder how our life could be. The reality is this. We can defeat our doubts with a fresh start because of Jesus. Well, last week we talked about finding that purpose, having a purpose that's deeper. We've all been in that situation where we felt like we're floundering in our purpose. We needed a new purpose in life, something more to live for. We talked about how we begin to live a greater purpose when we begin to live the purpose that Jesus has for us. Not what we want, not how we want it, but what Jesus wants and when Jesus wants it. Well, today we wrap it up on Mother's Day. And we're talking about the fact that all of us, moms included, moms, dads, single people, children, people in between, we're all created and made for a mission. And moms, can I tell you today that you're made for a mission that's greater than just changing diapers or loving that flawless husband of yours, right? Some of you are going, flawless husband? You don't know my husband. You know what? We all are filled with faults, failures, and flaws. But every one of us was made for a mission. And moms have probably one of the toughest tasks of all. Because moms seem like they're the ones that everything falls to and everyone turns to, right? You're the glue that kind of holds everything together. You're the one that people turn to, and you're the one that people ask questions to, and you're the problem solver. You're the project fixer. You're the one that does so many different things. But can I tell you something? All of those things are great things, and they're needed things. But that's not a mom's primary mission. In fact, all the projects and all the problems and solving all of those things is not my primary mission, and it's not the mission that I was created for, and it's not the mission that you were created for. You know, moms tend to care about their children. They tend to love them and go above and beyond and want the best for them. And before we jump into the rest of the mission that we're created for, sometimes we think our greatest mission is to go ahead and protect our children and to raise them and love them and look out for them. And one of my favorite Mother's Day stories is just this letter that comes from a mother going to the president and director of a college where her son was accepted. It says, "Dear sir, my son has been accepted for admission to your college, and I'm writing to ask that you give your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. I want to make sure his roommate is not the kind of person who uses foul language, tells off-color jokes, smokes, drinks, or chases after girls. I hope you will understand why I'm appealing to you directly. You see, this is the first time my son will be away from home except for his 3 years in the Marine Corps." You see, a mom never quits looking after her kids. A mom understands that there's a mission, something more that has to be done. Well, you know what? This morning, you were made for a mission. I was made for a mission. Here's the mission that you're made for and that I'm made for. In John chapter 20, Jesus has risen from the dead. He's talking with his disciples, and he comes up to them, and they're uncertain as to what their future holds. They're uncertain as to what they're supposed to do. Can I ask you a question today? Have you ever been in a situation in life where you're uncertain? You ever had a situation where you're uncertain about your future? You're uncertain as to what life holds ahead of you? You almost look back and you wonder what life held behind you. You're just uncertain. Well, that's where the disciples are. John chapter 20. Jesus has risen from the dead. He appears to him. And here's what he says in verse number 20. It says, "When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side." He said, "Look, it's me. It's real. I want you to know this." And then the Bible says, "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." But let's just get down to this verse and this text that drives our thought today. This fact that you were made for a mission and I'm made for a mission. So Jesus said to them, in the midst of their uncertainty, in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of them really needing a fresh start, he says, you were made for a mission. You were made for a mission. He said, you were made for more than the here and now. You were made for more than the temporary moments of life. He says, can I tell you something? You're made for a mission. Today, every one of you is made for more than the temporary moments of life. Today, you are made for a mission. And sometimes we need a fresh start, and the way we get that fresh start is to know what that mission is. So Jesus says, here it is. Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. He says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Jesus looks at his disciples who are uncertain, and he says, look, you've got questions, you've got concerns, you've got things that are going on in your mind, you have some desires, you're trying to figure everything out, and here's the deal. He says, you might be uncertain about your past, you might be a little uncertain about your future, but can I tell you something? The mission of your life, here it is, you were made to do this. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Moms, can I tell you, this is your day. And sometimes a mom feels the pressure of trying to be the perfect mom who has the perfect kids, right? You don't want your kid to go to class and be the one that tells the stories about mom and dad, right? And if they do, you hope that they're good. Why? Because you don't want that teacher to think that you're not doing a good job. Every time a teacher goes ahead and talks with a mom, you know what one of the mom's fears are and one of the dad's fears are is, oh no, what have they said? Oh no, what have they done? And do you know why? Because we worry more about what the teacher thinks of us in that situation. Natural response. We went in for the meeting this year early with our girls and their teachers. And they went good. They went really good. And as we were leaving, I told my wife, I said, wow, I was stressing that. I'm glad we've got by that initial meet the teacher night and that moment. Why? Because you worry, right? Moms worry, we worry. But can I tell you, we're made for a moment that's greater than that. Moms, you were made for something other and something greater than to try and be the perfect mom with the perfect kid who gets algebra right the first time, who always has the right answer and who always does the right thing. You were made for more than that. You were made for more than trying to be the perfect wife. You were made for something far greater. And can I tell you something? All of us are made for something greater than things that are similar and reflective of what I just said. Jesus said you're made for a mission, and the first part of that mission is this. That mission that you're made for is just real simple, and it's this. It's a mission that's focused on the Father. You see, I think the greatest mission that we can have in life, the greatest thing that we can do to obtain a fresh start is just to come back to a place, come back to a focal point in our life where the Father, our Heavenly Father, begins to go ahead and take our focus. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Jesus said, you're made for a mission. And the mission that you're made for is to go ahead and focus first and foremost on the Father. You see, Jesus was sent from the Father for the Father. And how would our life change if we just began to say, okay, the mission of my life is I'm from the Father and I'm for the Father. Not trying to be perfect, not always trying to have every right answer, not always trying to get everything right, not always trying to go ahead and fulfill the pressures of this life and to live the perfect life, just to realize, okay, here I am. This is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm sent to do. It's a mission from the Father for the Father. You see, that's Jesus. Jesus said, as I am sent, you are sent. You see, Matthew chapter 26, verse number 39, Jesus said this in the garden. He's getting ready to go to the cross for you and for me. And his words are not this. He doesn't say, Lord, help me to have the right answer and help me to always do the right thing and help me in all of these things. No, here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, not my will, but your will be done. Can I just throw something in? No matter who we are in life and no matter where we're at in life, one of the greatest things that we can do and say is come to a point in life where we make our mission the mission to do what God wants us to do. Where we make our mission the mission to live up to the will of the Father. To be who He wants us to be. To live in the way that He wants us to live. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, look, you're sent just as I am sent. Your mission is to go ahead and do the will of the Father. You know what? That sounds easy. But it's not always easy. Sometimes I'm not sure what's harder in this life. Being under the pressure of the world and under the pressure to conform and do things how they would like and how they want, or just coming over here and saying, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to live by the will of the Father. Because when we give ourselves to living by the will of the Father, do you know what happens? We have to make some different choices. We have to live life in a different way. But can I tell you something? There's no greater calling and there's no greater privilege than to come to a place in time where we say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the will of the Father. Moms, can I tell you? The best mom that you can be is to be a mom that's living for the will of the Father. I know kids can be strong-willed. I mean, I know that because you're looking at one. The Mother's Day card I got, my mom says, you drove me to the mall, you drove me to school, you drove me to the diamonds, you drove me here, you drove me there. And then it wraps up with this, and I drove you nuts. Right? We all have people like that in our life, but the greatest thing that can take place and the greatest thing that can happen is for each of us to come to a place where we just honestly say, okay, that the greatest calling, the greatest opportunity is to begin to go ahead and live my will for the Father. How do we do that? We give our hearts to the Father. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37 says, love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all of our mind. That's the first and the great commandment. Some young scholar came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? What's the most important thing that I could do? How do I get this right? And Jesus said, look, here's how you get it right. You love the Father with all your heart. That's what he said. That's what Jesus did. That's who Jesus was. That's probably the greatest thing that we can do. And then he said this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. He says that here's how we go ahead and live a life that's focused on the Father. We give our hearts to the Father, and then we live our lives for the Father. I want you to listen to this statement. And it's simple, but it's true. It just says, our greatest impact in life comes only after we love God with all that we are, so we can love others as they are. Moms, love God with all that you are, so you can love your children as they are. The rest of us, love God with all that we are, so that we can love other people as they are. You see, that's what Jesus did. He did that for you and for me. I mean, think about how incredible that is. Jesus said, look, the mission that I have is the mission that you have. You were made for more than the moment. You were made for more than just the pressures of this life and trying to take care of the things of this life. He said, you need a fresh start. And with a fresh start comes a new mission. It comes a new outlook on this thing that we call life. He said, you're made for a mission. You're made to love the Father, so that you can love others as they are. When you love the Father with all that you are, you come to a place where you can love others as they are. And in my life and your life, that's easier said than done. But moms, can I tell you, and others, can I just share this? The people around you, they need you to love God with all of your heart. They need you to be on mission as Jesus was on mission and loving the Father with all of your heart so you can love them as they are. Some of the greatest struggles in my life, I can look and I can say, you know what? Those are times when I'm probably not loving God like I need to. Not long ago, I sat down with a trusted friend and an advisor, and I just poured my heart out. And the first question that he said is, how's your relationship with God right now? Because that's the most important thing. Because when that is where it needs to be, all of the other things can take on a new focus. And sometimes we just got to come back to God. You see, nobody in life is immune from those struggles and those pressures. And sometimes we try and be the greatest mom in the world, or we try and be the greatest kid in the world, or we try and be the greatest individual in the world, at work or at church or in the neighborhood. And honestly, it all comes back to one simple but difficult truth, but it's the one thing that we're made for, and it's to love God with all of our heart so that we can love others as they are. The greatest opportunity is to love God with all that we are so that we can love others as they are. That's what we were made for. It's a mission of significance. Sometimes in life, we want to live for more. I mean, we want more out of life. We want to get a little bit further, right? That's what happens. Sometimes moms go through the phase and they say, man, I completely get it, because as a dad, I went through the phase after like the first week, I'm tired of dirty diapers, right? Anybody ever been there? Moms, we know you've been there. You got to go ahead and be ready for more than that? You want something more significant than that? Here's the reality. One of the most significant things that we could ever live for is the mission that Jesus has given us. A mission of significance. What's the most significant thing that you would like to accomplish in life? What's the greatest thing that you would like to do? In 1 Timothy chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. Here's a mention. It's extremely important. It's a mention of a grandmother and a mother. You're not going to find their names mentioned anywhere in Scripture other than this right here. They don't stand out and make Hebrews chapter 11, faith's roll call. They don't make any of the significant passages that we would look at. But Paul, the most influential Christian that ever walked the face of the earth outside of Jesus, writes these words. He says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Paul is writing to Timothy, and here's what he says to Timothy. He says, "Timothy, the greatest contribution that has been made in your life has not been by me. The greatest contribution that's been made in your life has been made by a grandmother who loved you and gave her faith to you. The greatest contribution that has been made in your life has been by a mother who loved you and gave her faith to you." He doesn't talk about how great of a parent they were. He doesn't talk about how involved they were in the PTO or the PTA or how involved they were in all the other things. He just says, look, there's a faith that's in you that is genuine, and it was in your grandmother first, and then it showed up in your mom, and it worked its way into your heart. The most significant contribution that we can leave this life with is a life that's marked by faith, that marks others with faith. You see, Timothy had a genuine faith. It was authentic. What does it mean? Timothy believed and lived truth. Why did he believe and live truth? Because he had a grandmother who believed and lived truth. Because he had a mother who believed and lived truth. You see, there's no more significant contribution that we can make than to go ahead and pass along our faith. He had a genuine faith. He had a past faith. He had a past faith. What does that mean? It was a faith that started off with grandma, and then it worked its way down to mom, and then it worked its way down into Timothy's heart. And Timothy is still young at this point in time, but Paul writes and he says, Timothy, you've got a genuine faith. You've got a past faith. It's been handed down to you. Why is that so significant? Because we can't pass what we don't have. And the one thing that we know Timothy received prior to Paul sharing the truth of who Jesus is and sharing the reality of what God could do in him and through him was this: a grandmother and a mother who poured their faith into him. There's no greater contribution, there's nothing more significant than sharing our faith. And can I tell you, it's never too late to start sharing your faith. But the reality is, we need that faith so that we can share it. Jesus said, you were made for a mission. That mission is a mission with the Father. That mission is to love him and to know him so that we can love others. I want to ask you today, do you love the Father? Do you love God? Do you know Jesus? Because that's the most important thing. And the most significant mission that we could have is to pass on our faith. You see, my mom is not perfect. My mom has a lot of faults and failures, and some of you would say, yes, we've met your sister. Every once in a while, we need to laugh, and she's in the family, and we have this understanding. She's fair game when she's here, right? And she's fair game when she's not here. Some of you would say, no, we know you, right? Yeah, she's got a fault and a failure. That would be me. Why? Because we all have faults and failures. We all have struggles. But the greatest thing that my mom gave me is a faith. The greatest thing that my dad gave me is a faith. You see, they believed it and they lived it. It was genuine in their heart, even though they were not perfect, and they're still not perfect. The greatest contribution that they've made is their faith. Because a car that's passed on goes to the junkyard one day. Clothes that are bought are outgrown or given away. The house that you live in and you work hard to go ahead and keep up gets sold and somebody else occupies it and moves everything around. All of the things in this life that we look at that are significant suddenly pale in comparison to the truth that faith is the one thing that lasts. And faith is the one thing that Paul says, wow, Grandma Lois and Eunice passed a faith on to you. You want a significant mission to live for today? Live for passing on your faith. You see, as a pastor, I get to see a lot of things in life. And one of the things that you look at and excites you as a leader is when you see a parent in all of their struggles and all of their problems, not trying to be perfect, not trying to get everything right, but just trying to genuinely pass on their faith. Because as a parent and as a Christian, that's our greatest responsibility. You were made for more than the mission of the perfect house or the nice car or the corner office at the company. You were made for a mission that's tied to the Father. You're made for a mission that's significant and an opportunity to pass on your faith. You see, it was a genuine faith. It was a past faith, but it was a very practical faith. Paul reminded Timothy of that faith, and he said, rely on that faith, because that faith, as it's stirred up in you, will go ahead and not only impact your life, but it'll impact the generations yet to come. Faith, it's significant. We've got a significant mission. But we've got a mission where we're not alone. A mission where we're not alone. If somebody says, how can I go ahead and love the Father with all of my heart so that I can love other people? I can't do that. Somebody would say, how can I go ahead and make passing on my faith the most significant thing that I can do, because I just can't do that. Sometimes in life we feel alone, right? Anybody ever been there? I mean, you feel like nobody cares and nobody understands, or you feel like the task at hand is way too big, it's far too great, and you just couldn't accomplish it. You see, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And the good news is this. He tells us that once we know him, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In those moments where you feel alone, in those moments where you feel like life might be a struggle, remember, you're not alone. You're not on your own. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, when you're living my mission, I'm going to be with you always, even unto the end. He didn't send us alone. Sometimes the pressure of trying to be the perfect mom, you feel all alone. You say, how do you know that you're not a mom? Because in 23 years, I've had countless people walk into my office and say, I feel like I'm alone in this. And it might be alone in being a mom and not getting the help that's needed. It might be alone just in life as an individual and kind of feeling unfulfilled. No matter what role we are and no matter who we are, the Bible says that we're made for a mission. And when we're on Jesus' mission, we're never alone. When we know him, he's not going to leave us on our own. Today, if you feel alone in the battle of life, Jesus doesn't leave you alone. If you know Jesus, I want you to know that you can come to him and know that you're never alone. If you don't know him, I want you to know that you can have a fresh start with him today and know no matter what you're doing, you're never alone. He didn't send us alone. He didn't send us in our own strength. He says, I'll give you the power to do it. Matthew chapter 28. He didn't even send us with our own message. He said, if you just go ahead and teach him about me, that's what I would like for you to do. You know, this seems extremely strange on a Mother's Day, because moms sometimes don't want a man to stand up and tell her how to be a good mom, because we really don't know much about it. They don't want to leave feeling guilty for all the things that they haven't done, and nobody likes to leave feeling guilty anyway, right? Mother's Day or any other day. But in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus meets his disciples again, and here's what he says. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Moms, do you know what that says? Your greatest mission in life is not to be the perfect mom. It's not to go ahead and always make every right choice and always look your best. Greatest mission in life is to pass your faith along to your children. Jesus said, that's not only a mom's greatest mission, that's my greatest mission, that's your greatest mission. That's the mission that we were made for. A mission that is focused on the Father, a mission that is significant because there's no greater contribution than we could make, and a mission where we're not alone, a mission where he says he will always be with us. You see, sometimes we need that fresh start, and that fresh start helps us to see the mission that we're made for. Today, no matter who you are made for a relationship with Jesus, and I invite you to come to him. Today, you were made for a mission that is far more and far greater than the here and now. A mission of significance to share your faith, and a mission where you're not alone. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to have a time to respond. Maybe you're here today and you would say, John, quite honestly, you talked about a relationship with Jesus. You talked about him giving his life and this resurrection. But I'm not certain that I've ever given my heart and life to him. I'm not certain that I've ever trusted him as my Savior. Maybe today you would say, you know what? I'd like to know more about that. In just a minute, as we stand and sing, if that's you, you'd like to know more about that, I would encourage you to step out, just make your way to the aisle that you're closest to, and someone will be here. They'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that Jesus loves you and that he'll be your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you would say, John, I know Jesus as my Savior, but quite honestly, I need a fresh start in some areas. I need to get back to focusing on loving the Father more. I need to worry about loving him more so that I can love my children where they are, so that I can love my family where they are, so that I can love the people around me as they are. Maybe that's you. Maybe today you would just come and pray. Say, God, help me to do that. Maybe you felt like you need something more significant to live for. There's nothing greater to live for than Jesus. Sharing your faith, passing that along. Today I would invite you, if you feel like that's something you need God's help with, just to come and be at the altar and pray. Lord, we'll be here and he will help you. Whatever your need might be. Maybe today it's that alone part. You feel like you're alone in this life and on this mission. I want you to know that you're not. Maybe today you would want to come and pray about that. Whatever your need might be, I want to encourage you just to step out and trust Jesus. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed?